Hey kids, right, please stay up here. We'd love to have you sitting up the front here for today because we want you involved. Would be amazing. Any other kids, parents, come up. Serge, come and join us. That would be amazing. Who enjoyed the exercise from the first song? Yeah, man. All right, so who's got goals for 2024 to get more fit? Anyone? Anyone wants to get fitter in 2024? No one. Wow. You all know what's coming, right? Right, you're on Kids Church, you're on Kids Church. Yeah, you guys are joining. You're all joining Kids Church, right? Kids, oh, Pastor Wes, you're joining Kids Church. Yep, all right, because that's how you get fit, right? Lots of goals. So there's lots of good reasons to join Kids Church, but fitness is one of them, which is very cool. Awesome. So look, well, this morning we just wanted to be able to share with you some of what we do in Kids Church. We want to share how we do Kids Church. So there's a bit of fun coming up as well. But just to intro to you, the way we run our kids program is we base it on a monthly theme. And so all year long we choose, we have a curriculum that we use, which is really great, but we have a value or a principle that every month is based on. Hey kids, can you guys tell me what we've just done? What was the theme for the last month, John? Gratitude, awesome. Okay, so we do value-based themes, and then we can see represented in the Word of God. And the reason I love a value-based program, or I love encouraging our kids to learn about the Word of God and how we see the principles and values of God, is because, you know, our values that we have in our life, the principles we live by, really shape our character. And the goal of following Jesus is actually to become more like Him. And so as we become more like Him, that means actually the things that are in His heart become part of what's in our heart. And, you know, it's one thing if my goal as a parent and as a leader is to give values to my kids and hope they get a choice along the way that they embrace those values. I could make the goal of parenting, the goal of leading, we could make it just obedience, right? Good behavior. We just want you guys to do as you're told. And that could be a goal, but the problem with that goal is it's actually an inferior goal to them embracing values. I can say to my kids, don't lie, because that's a good rule, right? Don't lie. But I think a superior goal is actually to say, be honest, because honesty builds connection and relationship. Lying actually breaks relationship, it hurts connection. So we are honest because honesty builds connection. I want them to know that more than just a rule. I can say to my kids, sorry to pick on this one, I can say, hey, do your hair up at school, because that's the rules, tie your hair up. You know, just do as you're told. But or I can actually say to them, actually, we honor our leaders because the Bible says when we do, we unlock blessing and it goes better for us. So you might not like the rule, but let's honor it because honor is a superior value. And so we like to tag these things. It's what we're trying to help you as parents, to your kids to embrace values in their life that will guide them. Because actually there's lots of things in the Bible that it doesn't tell us exactly what to do and what not to do, but God gives us principles to live by. And so that you can take those principles into your life circumstances and they help guide how you show up in all of your situations. So the wonderful people who help me do this every week, help insert these values and chat with these kids about values, is our team. And I really want to invite up all of our team for everyone who's here. There's a few away today. Yep, so Arno, come on up. Josh, Katia. Yep, Simone, come on up. Have we got Sue? Also Alison and Andrew. Thank you, Arno. Wilma, if she's here. She's not here this morning. Okay, we've got a few away. So this is sort of looks like it might be about half the team. That's right. Thank you. Yes, please, the Surge team. Absolutely. Sam and Elise, if you're able to. Sam, you're on prediction. You're doing multiple things today. Is Elise here or is she away? Not here. Okay, we've got a few away. So the leaders of our departments, we have three areas. So we have our juniors, which is led by Amy Hatchard, and her family is unwell this morning, unfortunately, so she's not here. But Amy has been doing a remarkable job this year just building a program, building a culture with our juniors, and we've been really immensely proud of how she's been doing that and the growth amongst the littlies and the Bible stories that they're absorbing, which is really cool. And then our Surge team started again this year. Hey, Surge, that was a good move, eh? So Sam and Elise and Craig have sort of co-led that, and also Sue, which has been awesome. Yes, please do cheer, because that has been... such a wonderful investment. Should have started lifting those cards out. Been such a wonderful investment in the age group. And then we have our primary area, which has been sort of co-led this year by Arno and myself. And I just, give Arno a tip. And I do just really want to honour Arno, because, you know, it's been a challenging year for him, is an understatement. But he has just stayed committed and wanted to keep giving and serving, which is just a huge testament to his character and to who he is. And we're just really proud of you, Arno. And so we just want to give out some cards to you guys. Do you want to grab the chocolate for me, Arno? Just chocolate. Hope they take too long. Kira, David. I also just want to really acknowledge we've got some fabulous teenagers here, okay, these teenagers. You are so blessed to have teenagers leading your kids who have chosen to follow Jesus and come at 8:30 on a Sunday morning, okay? Let's not underestimate the commitment that takes from our beautiful teenagers. We're so incredibly proud. Simone, and you just follow around. I know you can hand them out as well. Lydia. So, yes, everybody. Everybody gets some chocolate, because Christmas isn't Christmas without chocolate, right? Katia, Josh, so awesome to have these guys. Is Alicia here this morning? No? Yes, it's here somewhere. If Alicia's here, we'd love you up. She's been helping in our juniors, as has Eden. They've been awesome. Hannah, thank you so much. So very proud of these guys. Arno, thank you very much. Have we got Andrew? Yes, Andrew, you're there. Andrew and Alison. Wonderful. Faithful morning tea givers here. Alison's been doing our morning teas for a number of years now, and I just so appreciate, I just can rely on her every Sunday to turn up with a mini feast for our kids. Hey, makes the best morning teas, huh? And then they get to go into kids' church with that. So that's such an amazing, amazing thing. And who else do we have? Sam. And Sue. With the lovely Josh. Awesome, guys. Yeah, please do. Give them a round of applause. They are amazing. A lot of these guys come every week, so it's a weekly commitment to show up. And we just so appreciate that. And they build connection with your kids, and they really are giving out of who they are. I just love the integrity on the stage. They are an incredible bunch of people, and we're really grateful. There we go. Awesome. All right, guys, you can have a seat. And our juniors program is going to open up now for our under fives, if you would like to. Our 3 and 4-year-olds could stay in here and join in if they want to, but the juniors room will be open now with Hannah. All right, well, let's get to a real Advent wreath. Okay, so we have been doing gratitude over this last month. Over the year, actually, we've done a whole lot of values. We've talked about integrity. We've talked about compassion, humility. Some of these are big words, right? Well, they're big things. And we see our kids respond over and over again, and we give scenarios of how do you show up with this. And we're always incredibly blessed by how these kids work out how we use these characteristics in our lives. And so we're doing gratitude, because gratitude towards Christmas is we often do it. End of year, we do thank yous. It's a natural time for gratitude, but it also can be a hard time sometimes, because it's really easy to list the things that aren't great or the things that you want to say goodbye to over the year that you didn't really enjoy, or to say, or the things that, you know, for kids, it might be the things that they want to get. And so it's a great time to take a moment to focus on gratitude. And what I love about an Advent wreath is that it actually gives us four amazing values that we can be incredibly grateful for through the Christmas story. So I have some boxes here set up, and in this top box, I ask, would you like to come up, Talia, and open the box and pull out just the first thing that you see there? Awesome. All right. Thank you, Talia. Okay, this is a candle. Thank you very much. We're going to put the candle there. You can have a seat if you like. Thank you. That's awesome. All right, so we have a candle, and this first candle represents hope. Now, to find out best why this represents hope, we want to listen to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was a prophet who lived long ago, and his words are recorded in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And he tells us something. So I'd like to invite Josh up. Josh, would you come up? And he's just going to read a passage to us.
Yes, this is Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, and it says, "A child is born to us, a son will be given to us. He will rule over us, and he will be called the Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God. He will also be called Father who lives forever, and Prince who brings peace. There will be no limit to how great his authority is, and the peace he brings will never end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will make the kingdom strong and secure. His rule will be based on what is fair and right, and it will last forever. The Lord's great love will make sure that happens. He rules over all.
Do you want to light the candle, Josh? All right. Should work. There we go. Nice. Awesome. So Isaiah was saying something to people who really needed hope. They were in a season where they needed to know that God was going to do something. And actually his prophecy gave hope for generations, that God was still on the move and that he had a plan. And hope is something that's so incredibly vital for us. It's something that's not just an emotion, it's something that's really deep-seated in our souls. Isaiah knew that the people needed to see God had a bigger plan, and that he'd promised to send us the greatest repair person of all time to fix our broken world. And he would be the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace, the greatest doctor, the God's rescuer, and he would be all of these things. And this candle represents hope. And I'm so grateful for hope, because when everything looks bleak, I can lean into God's story and I still find hope. In fact, I have more hope than what his generation ever did, because it was pre-Christ. Post-Christ, we have so much hope. And this just leads and guides us. And I'm so grateful this Christmas for hope. And so for some of you this morning, it's going to be a really powerful moment just to think about, am I feeling a bit hopeless? And do I need to focus on the hope of the kingdom and hope beyond my circumstances? Because that is what Christ did for you. Sam, could I invite you up? Yes, there he is. Awesome. Would you like to go into the box and get out our next candle? Awesome. All right, would you like to share with us about this one?
This is the joy candle. Oh, did I turn it off? Oops. The joy candle. Okay. So in Luke 1, 26 to 33, the coming birth of Jesus. In the sixth month after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. He was sent to a virgin. The girl was engaged to a man named Joseph. He came from the family line of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel greeted her and said, "The Lord has blessed you in a special way. He is with you." Mary was very upset because of his words. She wondered what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God is very pleased with you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must call him Jesus. He will be the great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king like his father David of long ago. The Son of the Most High God will rule forever over his people. They are from the family line of Jacob. That kingdom will never end." And then just after this, she goes and meets Elizabeth, and the baby jumps for joy in a womb. So for Christmas, you need to meet the presence of God. Do you have the joy of God? Jump in you. So joy for Christmas is an important thing, and so I'm lighting the joy candle. Oh.
Thank you. Yep. Awesome. Yep, it is a powerful thing to know that God's joy spans our circumstances. And you know, you've probably all had some really awesome Christmases and maybe some Christmases that haven't gone so great. But the amazing thing about God's joy is he doesn't leave you in your mess for very long, all right? There's always joy. His presence is always there. And as Samuel said, the baby leapt for joy inside of Elizabeth's womb, all right? Which one tells us that babies recognize the presence of God, which I love. I absolutely love that. But also, again, remember that for Mary, while it was scary, a lot of families were waiting. When was the Messiah coming? To be told that she was going to carry the Messiah, whilst incredibly scary, was also incredibly joyful to think that that was going to be her journey, which is awesome. All right, could I have, let's see, Anya, would you like to come and get the next candle out of the box for me? Thank you, darling. That'd be awesome. Come on over. Can you pull that one out for me? Thank you. That's so cool. Come and put it up in the one of these ones. Can you put it in there? Thank you. That's wonderful. Right, have a seat. Good job. All right. Does anyone know what our third candle represents before we put it up on the screen? In this case, nope. That is one of the candles. This one represents love. All right, now kids, just for a minute, you've been sitting for a few minutes. I want you all to stand up. Just stand up, just where you are. Cool, awesome, that's it. Fabulous, okay. All right, and I'm gonna get you to turn around for a minute, and I want you to, you can do it now, turn around and look at all the really old people, okay. We let them sit a bit longer because some of them are over 30. Yeah, so we let them sit a bit longer. All right, now lock eyes with the person who brought you to church today. And I'm going to tell you, they've got a secret, and I'm going to tell you what their secret is. See them? Can you see if you can spot the person who brought you today without turning around? Oh, you're looking at Dad. Good. Okay. Awesome. Okay, they have a secret. You listening? Their secret is they can't remember what the world was like before you were in it. It's true. You coming changed everything. Absolutely everything. And they can't even remember what it was like, and they wouldn't, or the money in the world wouldn't change the fact that you are, that would want them to change the fact that you are here with it. Pretty cool, eh? All right, now you know their secret. Turn around, do a little bit of a stretch, and sit back down. The thing is, Christmas is about a kid, actually. It's about a baby, right? And your babies change things. They change things in a big way. But this baby changed everything for everyone, everywhere, which is it's a pretty incredible thing. One moment. Just going to find where I have put. There it is. The love that God showed by sending himself as a son is a love that is more than probably any of us could ever actually really imagine. We try, but I don't think we can really embrace it. And this is what love does, right? Love changes things. It does it every single time. Love is bigger and more fantastic than your mind or heart could ever hold. And so this Christmas, we want to be grateful for the love that is shown in the baby of Jesus. We want to show gratitude for that, but also I pray, Lord, that love is going to be a huge part of everything you do this Christmas. So everything that you give, everything that you feel, even everything that you receive, that it is centered around a very great love. It's not a love that we could ever fully comprehend, and that's why for many of us who have been in faith for a very long time, we'll never be able to exhaust thinking about the love of God. We can spend our whole lifetime and still have not discovered the rest of it, the full depth of what it is, which is very, very cool. Right, we have one more candle in our wreath, or one more small candle in our wreath. Arno, would you like to come up and share this one? Yes, that'd be great.
Relaxed. Who's feeling relaxed? This time of year? It is sometimes hard to be relaxed this time of the year with the traffic and the parties and the end of year and all the things that we need to do before we go home, you know, from work, or it's busy, busy season. Which can be, well, very un-Christmassy. Really good word, that, un-Christmassy. But still, there is something going on under it all that leads us to our next candle, which we've got over there. Colossians 1, verse 19 to 20 said, God was pleased to have his whole nature living in Christ. God was pleased to bring all things back to himself. That's because of what Christ has done. These things include everything on earth and in heaven. God made peace through Christ's blood by his death on the cross. And also in John 14, verse 27, Jesus said of himself, I leave my peace with you. I give my peace to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, peace, even just saying the word, can lower the tensions, but this candle represents a peace that is far greater than just a relaxing breath. This is peace between us and God. This candle represents the idea that God loves you, each and every one of you. God has made a way for you to live with him forever. God isn't disappointed in you. He isn't angry with you. Because his son, Jesus, came to earth on a mission. God is at peace with me and with you.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Just say that for a minute. Peace. It's priceless to have peace. And I love that Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives. Because the world, any peace you can possibly experience in the world is pretty temporary, for starters. It's pretty temporary, and it's pretty based on circumstances. But the peace that Christ came by coming, by being sent, he made us right with God. He made us right with our Creator. So no matter what is swirling around your life and your storm today, you can find a deep center of peace with God, with your Creator. Being one with our Creator is so powerful. Trying to be something that we're not doesn't ever bring peace. Because we need to line ourselves up with our Creator God, how he made us, and that's where we find ultimate peace. So there's four incredible things, and we rattle them off, right? You know, hope, love, joy, peace. You know, we rattle them off like they're really simple, right, kids? But they're actually profound. It is so profound. This is how we live our lives out as following Christ. We have access to these things all the time. And sometimes we only talk about them as Christmas, but that is available to you on a daily basis. It is available to us to live our lives out of. And if you ask me, you probably have a circumstance every day where you need to actively lean into one of those. I do. I did just to do the service. Had to lean into a few of them. And it's great because it's there. And I can feel everything else that swirls around. But I can go, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your peace that I get to access because of Christ. Because of a baby. When I had my other babies, they generally didn't bring peace unless they were sleeping. All right? And that was not enough sometimes. But we often hold a sleeping baby and we feel incredibly peaceful, right? Like, I don't know why it is. Why is it that a sleeping baby or even a sleeping kitten, you know, on us makes us feel relaxed? Because there's something so incredibly trusting and safe in that moment. And so, you know, picture that. If you've ever held a sleeping infant, that is, I think, actually the type of peace that Christ wants us to live in. Because it's just so safe and it's just so secure, which is a beautiful thing. Just having a look. So the last candle that we have is called the Christ candle. Because all those values, as we've just said, is centered around Christ. And so all of those things, they lead us to Christ. And in him we find all things. Because he came to give us those elements, he came to give us joy, hope, joy, peace, and love. And he can bring that to all people in all places at all times. So it probably looks a bit different around the world because it spans across all these different things. But Christmas is only possible because our journey leads us to Christ, right? The one that represents what Christmas is all about, which is God's Son. He's the one who gave our life for us. He's the one who then died and rose again. I remember a T-shirt that I used to love. It said at the front, you know, Jesus was born at Christmas, and on the back it says, so he could die for you at Easter. And it's such just a powerful story. It's all-encompassing. It's not just one or the other. We find all of this in the story of why Christ came, how he lived, and then how he died and rose again. So no matter what Christmas looks like at your house, and that will be different everywhere, so it doesn't matter if you have a real tree or a fake tree or no tree, or you want to argue about which tree is better or having no tree. No matter if you dress up beautifully or you stay in your pajamas all day, or you wear a charming Christmas sweater. No matter if you have dinner out of a can or whether or not you go to your grandparents for a feast or just a simple meal with a new neighbor. No matter, Jesus wants to be the center of everything that you do. He wants to be the center. How do we keep him the center of everything that we do? When we keep him as the most important thing at Christmas, every single other day, and every single other day, then we get to really understand what real hope and joy and love and peace is like. And the candles, they shine so bright as an example to say that this is what is these things in Christ in us shine so bright that it helps to cast light on everything that we do. Another scripture that says, you know, in his light, we see light. And that is why we light candles at Christmas. It really was, Jesus was the first gift of Christmas. And that's why we give presents. And it's the greatest gift for every one of us, everywhere. And so today we'd like to take an opportunity to take these four things and take some time to show gratitude by taking communion together. And so we want to do that in family groups. And we will be doing that around the room. We encourage parents to take your kids for this and to gather them up and to be in friends and family groups when we go into communion. And to take some time to go, what are we grateful for this Christmas as a family, as friends, as a church community? And this is your job, parents, actually, is to do this with your kids, to bring them to Jesus. That's what they did in the Bible. The parents brought their kids to Jesus. So use this as a moment to bring your children to Jesus, not just on Sundays, obviously, but all during the week, as we go into communion and share that. But first of all, I'd love just to invite Wes, if you had anything that you wanted to contribute towards communion before we host it.
Thank you so much. Just very briefly, there's so much that could be said. I mean, there's weeks that could be said. But I just want to turn your attention to John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, if you want to bring it up, if you're able to do that, I know you didn't have forewarning of it, but John chapter 5, verse 24, New King James Version. This is Jesus speaking to a whole crowd of people, and he's talking with a lot of people who know a lot about the coming Messiah, know a lot about the Old Testament, know a lot about, they've got all these expectations. He says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Jesus was debating people who, some of them wanted to kill him, some of them wanted to reject him, some of them wanted to receive him, and he was telling them, look, if you don't receive me, then you won't receive the one who sent me. If we have a king, which we do, it's King Charles now, it was Queen Elizabeth, some have a preference, and we have in New Zealand a Governor General, and that Governor General represents the king to us because we're part of the Commonwealth, and we have a constitutional monarchy, we have a king that in theory sort of heads our government. If we reject the Governor General who was sent to us to represent the king, we reject the king. If we reject the Governor General, we reject the king. The Father sent Jesus. We celebrate Christmas. Well, we celebrate every day of the week. But if you receive Jesus, you receive his word and you believe his word, you're receiving the Father himself. You're believing on the one who sent him. So when we receive Jesus, the Son of God, whether you picture him in a baby or picture him on the cross or picture him resurrected, If you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Father. And this is the promise. This is the outstanding promise. Most assuredly, that's you can't get any higher than that. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. The gravity of that is phenomenal. You receive Jesus, you receive the one who sent him, and it says you have everlasting life. Turn to the one next to you. There's a reasonable chance they've received Jesus. There's a reasonable chance, given that this is a church meeting in a tent today, there's a reasonable chance that they have received Jesus. You look at that person, they have received and are a current possessor of everlasting life. If you children have received Jesus, you've received the one who've sent him. If you receive Jesus and you believe in the one who sent him, you have everlasting life. And everlasting life is not just the length of life, it's the very life that God has within him now. Because God is life. There's no death in God. There's no disease in God. There's nothing of death in God at all. He is totally life. He always is. He's always present. He's always life in the now. And so if you've received Christ, you've honored the one who sent him, and you have everlasting life. You have the kind of life in you that God has in him, that God is. Even if your body dies, you will rise again. Even if your body dies, you're alive with God. It's a phenomenal promise. We don't downgrade what Christmas is about. We don't downgrade what Easter is about into just a story. We are the living reality of Jesus coming, of the Son coming, of God in the flesh coming to earth. And because we've received him, we've got the one who raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us. This is Christmas. This is Easter. This is everything. This is our life. And so let's all stand this morning. We're going to pray, and then we're going to hand over to those who are going to be... I'll hang back to you, Jackie, and you can lead us in the communion. Father, I want to thank you today that you've sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world to be a man and yet fully God. And we thank you, Lord, that as a man, he took upon himself the repercussions of sin and the fall and was crucified, and all the wrath of God was poured out on him so that the way could be cleared for all people everywhere to come back to you, to be reconciled back to you and be at peace with you, experience your joy, experience your life, experience resurrection life, experience everything you have for us, not only for today, but forevermore. We thank you, Lord, that death does not have a grip on us anymore because your life has come into us. And I thank you for your power and your goodness. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray for every person in this place today that, Lord, every person would just weigh up whether they've really received you or whether they've really honored you or not. Just right now, just open your heart to him and say in your heart, Jesus, I receive you. In fact, I think that would be a fantastic thing for us all to pray. If you're willing to pray this, just pray this with me. Jesus, I receive you. You have been sent by the Father, by the Creator of all things. You are the Father's great rescue plan. And I receive you today. And based on what you said, Jesus, if I receive you, I receive the one who sent you. And your promise is that I now have everlasting life. I thank you, Lord. Jesus, I receive you. Jesus, I honor you. You're the Son of God. You came to save us. You've saved me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. You may be seated. Jackie, I'll hand back.
All right. Probably don't need to be seated because we're just going to move. So today we've got stations around the room with communion on it. And so what we'd like you to invite you to do is to parents with your kids and in family groups and friend groups so that no one's alone. Would you like to move to one of those stations and get your communion elements and then gather together in a group? And we'll just take a few minutes to do that. And then when everyone's sort of ready, then we will just lead through a moment for you to first of all to reflect on what you want to be grateful for this year and on the power of the cross. And then we will lead you in a prayer of that as well. So let's just move out to those areas now. Kids, can you go with your parents? That'd be amazing. Awesome. Just wrapping up. When you're finished, come and sit back in your chairs.
Everybody, if you could make your way back to a seat, just a couple of little things, and then we'll let you all go for a cup of tea and so on. Quite a different morning this morning, very deliberately different, which is really good. Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you so much, Children's Ministry, for helping us get engaged in some action and some praise and worship and some games, and it's just awesome, wonderful. Thank you, everybody. Just make your way back to your seats if you can. I just got a great little report for you. I just want to read to you. Just to encourage you. You made your way back to your seats. I can't see around the corner. Is there people around there, or are they all good now? Okay. And some of you will know that, a number of you might remember that Janet and I were Darren Cheadle and down in Matara a couple of weeks ago. Just hit Matara with an outreach, and on the Friday night, we taught a little bit into deliverance. It's what Darren wanted me to do. And then both of us shared some brief testimonies. Then Janet shared some testimony. Then we just prayed for a bunch of people, ministered to a bunch of people. There was some really good deliverance. And there was, but unbeknown to us, I vaguely remember praying for somebody, but I can't be absolutely sure regarding this. Janet can't remember. So anyway, they may have been healed because of the deliverance. We don't know. But this is from the senior pastor of the Matara Church. His name is Michael Whale, known as Mike. He said, "Hi Wes, just had a testimony from one of the women who had ministry on the Friday night. She had a tumor in her abdomen and went for a scan yesterday, and they could find no trace of the tumor." Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Just stand. Just everybody just stand right now. There's people amongst us who are walking a journey with, are dealing with things in their bodies that are trying to have their way. But I want to tell you that Jesus is our healer. Jesus is healer. And some of us, we'd say, well, hang on, we didn't see this and we didn't see that. Yes, we don't. Every army has battles. And every army can sometimes feel like it loses a bit of a battle. But the key to the morale of an army is not to be pondering, meditating, staying fixed on the points where it felt like it got defeated, but to pick up every point of victory and celebrate it. To pick up everything that encourages, to build morale, so it's got the willpower and the power and the faith to face the next battle and and go to war for the sake of those who need to be liberated. And so there's people amongst us that have got things going on in their body like this lady had going on her body. And we're going to pray right now. We're going to trust the same Jesus who healed this lady, the same Holy Ghost that healed this lady, is the same Jesus and the same Holy Ghost, the same Word of God that's in this tent right now. So if that's you, put up your hand. If you've got a situation in your body that's really challenging you health-wise, or the prognosis is very negative, just put up your hands right now. People around you are going to look around. They're going to come over to you. They're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. And Father, this end of the year, we acknowledge, Lord, there's been some battles this year. And there's been some things that have felt like defeat at times. But Lord, we just also see the victories. And we thank you for this dear lady that came to the meetings in Matata who had a tumor in her abdomen and now has been healed. Now it's not there. So we thank you, Lord, for that dear lady. Lord, that the testimony of her lips would go far and wide. And the fruit of that testimony and the fruit of that healing would impact many people. So today, in our midst, Lord, we have people that have got things trying to attack their bodies. We band together as the army of God. We band together as a band of brothers, as it were, band of sisters, as it were. And we speak to those conditions now. We say in Jesus' name, cancer, in Jesus' name, whatever you are, in Jesus' name, tumors, we command you to shrivel. We curse you in Jesus' name, and we command you to leave that body right now in the name of Jesus. Injuries, heart conditions, liver conditions, kidney conditions, lung conditions, cardiovascular situation, we speak release and healing into your bodies right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Release the Holy Ghost that's in you. Release the Holy Ghost that's in you, people. Those of you around each person praying, release the Holy Ghost in you. Release that river that's in you. Release that river that's in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. We magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. God bless you. And come on, can we give the Lord a clap offering or something? Can we? Want to give the opportunity for the offering right now. Many of you give automatic payment, we know that, but there are some who come in with envelope or cash or something they want to physically deposit into that bucket. We want to give you the opportunity to do that because this is an act of worship, I think Grant's putting those around now. Father, we thank you for Lord, the power to give, the power to release, the power to sow, the power to, your word says the power to get wealth. That's what your word says. You give us the power to get wealth. So, Father, we thank you that we don't have to live in a poverty mindset. We don't have to live in a lack and frustration mindset. Lord, we can align ourselves with you and see a kingdom flow through our life. And part of that, Lord, is the release of finances from our life into the things you've connected us to and the things that you've spoken to for us to give into. So we give into your kingdom. We give into the church. We give into the ministry. We give into sowing into people's lives in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. I thank you for blessing every household that's faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much. Jackie, I'll hand back to you to wrap up.
Awesome. Cool. All right, you can sit down for one more moment. You're laughing, Craig. Why are you laughing? All right, so just to finish off service Kids Church style, one more thing that we like to do in Kids Church. So every week we have something called the Mystery Chair. And the Mystery Chair is just a fun little thing. It's a chair that gets pre-selected, and then the child who sits on it, we keep an eye on and just see if they're like trying to enter in and do their best. And at the end, we announce the Mystery Chair, and they get to have a dip in the treasure box. It's really fun. Dum, dum, dum. So today we have five mystery chairs that have been at play this whole time, just for a bit of fun. And so, but slightly different. We did it slightly differently. So what you all need to do now is to look under your seats. And if you can find a gold star stuck to the bottom of your seat and you've been well behaved, then you are a mystery chair winner. So let's see if we can find five gold stars. If you need help getting under your chair, feel free to grab a young person. Have we got one over here? Congratulations. Stand on up. We've got one mystery chair found. Good job. Come on up. Awesome. Yeah. Feel free to borrow a young person to get down under your chair. Anyone else? All right. Dip in the treasure box. Have a pick. You can. Oh, I'm sure she would. Awesome. That's so cool. Good to see you. All right, who else? Speedy's got a gold star. Congrats, Speedy. Have a dip in the treasure box. Thanks for joining in. Did you have a gold star?
Wow.
And you. Can you see that you'd like a big one? Oh, yeah, the fidget spinners are pretty cool. All right, Margaret, thanks. Out of the air. Fairy lights. Fairy lights. All right. Oh, really? Halfway? Halfway between your chairs. A pack of playing cards sounds good. Awesome, guys. Well done. That is so cool. Thank you for playing along. And that's us for today. We're going to please stick around for morning tea. And for the kids who are in the Christmas Eve item, we're going to head across the small tent for a dance practice. Awesome. Otherwise, have a fantastic morning. See you.